This morning's message is entitled Uncommon Courtesy. Uncommon Courtesy. Have you ever heard anyone say something like, I'm just kind of sick and tired right now of the political correctness, and then attempting to prove their point, that same individual maybe uses some hurtful epithets to describe other people? Perhaps you've noticed that those who often decry what they call hate speech are the first to label someone else as a bigot. So very often those who claim to be most offended by others are quick to use a hateful name or call someone a hateful name, like a racist or a sexist or maybe even homophobic. I think many of you would agree with me that civility in public discourse is greatly lacking today. A U.S. News and World Report had a cover story entitled The American Uncivil War. And its subtitle read, How Crude, Rude, and Obnoxious Behavior Has Replaced Good Manners and Why It Hurts Our Politics and Culture. And so here's a sample of what the article said. According to the poll that U.S. News and Boswell Worldwide conducted, reveals that a vast majority of Americans feel that their country has reached an ill-mannered watershed. So 9 out of 10 Americans think that incivility is a serious problem. And nearly half of those who were surveyed think that is extremely serious. 78% said that the problem has worsened in the past 10 years. And their concern goes beyond beyond annoyance to rudeness. Respondents see incivility as evidence of a profound social breakdown. More than 90% of those polled believe that it contributes to the increase of violence in the country. 85% believe that it divides the national community, and the same number see it as eroding healthy values like respect for others. Talk to Americans, this is what the article goes on to say, talk to Americans and a picture emerges of a nation addicted to the pleasure of an unruly society with the emphasis on individual expression, flouting convention and its free vent of emotion, but at the same time shocked by the effect of this unruliness. Americans feel embattled in their personal and professional lives by a rising tide of nastiness. Says Martin Marty, a philosopher of religion who has written on this subject, the alternative to civility is first incivility and then war. Do you know when that article was written? 1996. 22? That'd be 22 years ago. And I wonder whether things have worsened even today. What has happened to common courtesy in public? And the problem doesn't just exist here in America. A June 11, 2014 USA Today article title read, Be More Polite, Beijing Residents. It related to a summit that the city was going to be hosting in November of that particular year. And there was going to be a bunch of leaders in attendance at this meeting. And so they felt that the city had some work to be done. In China's sharp-elbowed capital, where people jump lines and exhibit brusque manners, the ruling Communist Party launched a campaign to encourage Beijing's 20 million residents to behave better. Led by the Capital Civilization Office, the same bureaucrats who struggled to wipe out public spitting before the 2008 Olympic Games, Beijing plans to raise citizens' quality before this particular summit. So who were the targets of this six-month campaign? People who were noisy, people who smoked in public, that curse at sporting events, that failed to line up for buses, run red lights, drink while they drive and drive aggressively. And Beijingers were also told to dress properly, show grace and in speech and in manners, say hello, say thank you, and sorry more often. So, and it's not just Beijing residents who need work on their manners, is it? It's really all of us. What about the church? Have we caught the world's spirit? These things really ought not be seen among God's people, but unfortunately, human nature has a sneaky way of rearing its ugly head, and unfortunately, to say, even among the saints. Christian courtesy is an important subject in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 21. This verse essentially embraces courtesy. Let's take a look at it together. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 21. All right. Here we are. Isaiah 43 and verse 21. This people, God says, I have formed for myself. They shall declare what? My praise. They shall declare my praise. Kind of reminds you of what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Those that God has called his people out of darkness into his marvelous light, that they might do what? Show forth his praises to those around them. You see, God calls his people, of course, to be different. We should stand out from the world, not only in dress, not only in diet, not only in church attendance, not only in our recreational choices, but also our behavior should be seen to be different, shouldn't it? The world cannot understand some of the deep doctrines of Christianity, but it does understand courtesy, at least what it looks like. The world doesn't read the Bible, but it does read God's people. So the work of grace, really, the work of grace in our lives should be making evidence, or should be made evident in a life that we live, a life and how we actually behave. So what is courtesy? What is courtesy? Common sense, common courtesy, common decency, these things are very closely related. In fact, someone quipped that common sense, common courtesy, and common decency really do have a lot in common. They all disappeared around the same time. A short definition of courtesy would be this: polite behavior that shows respect for others. Polite behavior that shows respect for others. We remember the golden rule, don't we? Jesus in Matthew 7 verse 12 says, treat others as you want them to treat you. That's right. He didn't say, treat others as they treat you. But if we truly live by Jesus' words, we would all treat others with courtesy that unfortunately perhaps isn't so common today. A story has it that a police officer was investigating an accident, and referring to the young woman who was lying unconscious on the ground to those that were standing by, he asked, who was the driver that hit this lady? Well, who was driving when this lady fell to the ground? And a gentleman stepped forward and said, I was the one. He said, well, why did you hit her right here in the road? He said, well, sir, he said, I didn't actually hit her. I saw her approaching the intersection, and she was trying to cross the street, so what I decided to do was to stop. And it was then that she fainted. She fainted because it was unusual for someone to stop, to let her walk across the road. Could it be said that common courtesy or courtesy has become so uncommon today that it can be described as an overwhelming occurrence when it's experienced by us? Courtesy has become uncommon because genuine love and respect for others has become uncommon. Did you know that there is a direct connection between genuine courtesy and loving others? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll jump over to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And look with me at verses 4 through 8. Of course, we know this chapter. It's known as the love chapter. Notice what Paul writes here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. He says, love, what does love do? Love suffers long. What else does love do? It is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not do what? Behave what? Does not behave rudely. This could be translated as not disrespectful or as not uncourteous. Love is not uncourteous. In addition, love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil, and love bears all things. They all have this idea of being civil, of being courteous, of being respectful, these particular words that we just read in this chapter. So when you put it all together, we could say that bad manners, uncivility, unkindness, discourtesy, disrespect, dishonor toward others is actually evidence of genuine love or agape love. The current plague of incivility and discourtesy in society is really the manifestation of what Jesus said in Matthew 24, talking about the time prior to his return. In verse 12, he says that in the last days, because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. May we learn to gather warmth from others' coldness, as there's nothing worse than a Christian who's caught the world's cold. When we are courteous to each other, we actually show love. When we do acts of kindness, we show love. When we show respect or honor to another, whoever they happen to be, we show love. Courtesy really is nothing more than the practical application of Christian love lived out in the ordinary affairs of everyday life. That's really what courtesy is. It's the practical application of Christian love lived out in the ordinary affairs of everyday life. The dictionary calls courtesy excellence of manners and polite behavior. It's a combination of tact, of timing, of sensitivity, and of kindness. What are some uncommon practices of courtesy, common practices of courtesy that every Christian should make common in their lives? Well, you know, one great thing to do is look for ways to help others, right? Someone's maybe struggling with something heavy, offer to lend a hand. When someone needs a door open because they can't open it for themselves, make a quick beeline to open the door. Really, being courteous is being aware of your surroundings, being aware of needs that are taking place around us. Open the door for someone. Avoid telling other people what to do. Avoid interrupting other people's conversations without saying "excuse me." Stop criticizing. Instead, make a habit of asking, listening, complimenting, and thanking to show respect. What else? How about a couple of forgotten words, please and thank you? Please and thank you. Two forgotten words in the English language, well, maybe three, please, thank you. Why is it that some people take for granted that whenever a kindness is done to them, they think it was owed to them? Why is that? Christ, he thrust thanklessness into the spotlight when he healed 10 lepers, and when only one returned with thanksgiving on his lips, he asked, "Where are the other nine? Where are the other nine?" I wonder if keeping our word is a form of courtesy. Would you think it is? I think so. It was once the case that a man lived by his word. The saying was, a man's word was his bond, or his is his bond. Many a bargain was struck back in the day with just simply a handshake. It's vital we keep our promises. To be dependable is essentially to be courteous. If we tell someone that we're going to do something, then we should do it, right? If for some unavoidable reason the promise simply can't be fulfilled, rather than running and hiding and not explaining yourself to somebody, explain the situation. Don't leave others wondering and doubting regarding your integrity. I wonder whether also being on time is a courtesy. There are those who are perpetually late wherever they go, and it doesn't seem to bother them. There are some who are consistently late for work, for church services, for meetings, by 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. But I suggest that if a person can be consistently late, they can be consistently on time. What do you think? Yeah. Constant lateness is a result of a lack of self-discipline, and it detracts from a person's credibility. How about doing right? Doing right and doing well. Would that be a form of courtesy? There are two kinds of people. First, there are those who take on a job. They're anxious to get over and done with as quickly as possible. As my mum used to say, they give it a lick and a promise. And on the other hand, there are those who take great pride in their work. They render premium service as unto the Lord. So as Christians, ought we not be providing top-notch service, not taking unauthorized breaks at work, not leaving our job early and having someone clock out for us, for us. Christians don't pilfer supplies from the office. They don't take work funds and use them for personal enterprises. These things we don't do as followers of Jesus. How about being pleasant? How about being pleasant? Why is it that when you think of some people, the first word that comes to your mind is just grumpy? Grumpy. Every person has the ability to leave an impression. We all have an ability to leave an impression on someone we've come in contact with. Some people have a delightful and a sunny disposition that just can't be hidden. It can't be concealed. Even when you're not having such a good day, their cheerfulness can't be but apparent. There were some people that we worked with back in Pennsylvania. And one particular lady, a couple of particular ladies who'd been diagnosed with cancer, and they had dealt with the cancer issue for a number of years. And you would never know that they had struggled and were struggling presently with cancer. Always sunny, always cheerful, always thanking the Lord for something, always pleasant to be around. You know, you may not have thought about this, or maybe you have, but even things like etiquette and table manners are forms of showing love to others, being courteous to others. Have you ever thought about that? You may be saying, well, huh? Table manners? How is that showing courtesy? Have you ever sat by somebody who slops their food when they eat? They chew with their mouth open. Sometimes they talk and food does a parabola. And then the food kind of, around their plate, there are food crumbs. And then food drops on the floor. They don't pick it up. They don't clean up after themselves. You should talk to the church custodian here after a potluck. Interesting. It's interesting to see. Maybe do a walkthrough in the camellia room after lunch today. Now everyone's going to be really careful today, aren't they? Yeah, be very careful. Yeah, well, someone might say, well, I don't care. I don't care if I'm a messy eater. I don't care if it makes them feel uncomfortable. You don't care, that's fine. Then you'll be eating on your own. That's just simply how it goes. It's hard to eat next to somebody who just has poor table manners. Food going everywhere and you have to kind of duck and hide sometimes. Now, these things that I've mentioned, these aren't hard. These aren't advanced things. These are just basic things we've been trying to teach our kids, and yet some of us have forgotten. They're not difficult to do. In fact, they're fundamentals of moral behavior, aren't they? They are things that we should be instilling in our children, that we're trying to instill in our children, and we should keep instilling into our children so that they just get it, so it just becomes a part of their everyday life. They just do those things. They'll be saying, please, and they'll be saying, thank you. And before they jump into the potluck line, they'll be letting their elders go before them. What do you say out there? Isn't it pleasant interacting with a polite, courteous child? Man, it is. It is when they look up at you and they look at you in the eye and they say, please or excuse me or thank you. It's so nice rather than tripping up over them because they run in front of you without saying, excuse me. It's pleasant being around children who are polite and courteous. But this must be a habit for us as well. We can tell our children until we're blue in the face, but if we don't do these things ourselves, then the children aren't going to think it's very important at all as well. Our examples go that much further than our words. And parents need to be aware of these things and start doing those things so that their children catch on. Courteous behavior. Amen. Courteous behavior. I worked with our kids for years at the dinner table. And do you think it paid off? Yes. Kind of. I won't tell them my kids. They're great, great kids. Some of them could do better at the dinner table. Not looking at anyone, no. It's all good. It's all fine. I want to take you to another verse, Proverbs 27, verse 14. Look at this. This is very interesting. Talking about courtesy. We have to be patient, don't we? We do. Proverbs 27, verse 14. Proverbs 27, verse 14. Notice, speaking about courtesy. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. What's the problem? At the very least, this social, gregarious neighbor is showing a deplorable lack of common courtesy. Even if he means well, his timing's off by a couple of hours. He's just shown up at his friend's place too early in the morning. He's too happy, too loud, and instead of being blessed, his friend's feeling a bit cursed. The behavior could be said to be obnoxious. Perhaps such a person is a little bit tone deaf to the delicate sensitivities of friendship. There's a proper time for everything, isn't there, including hearty greetings. But this man, according to Proverbs, doesn't really know and doesn't really care. The idea behind this proverb really can be summarized this way: be sensitive to how other people feel. We mentioned it earlier, courtesy and respect essentially go hand in hand. They work one with another. The idea behind the proverb is be sensitive to how other people feel. Think about them before perhaps you speak. You don't know how your neighbor is feeling in the morning. He may be burdened. If you come in talking loudly and laughing, you'll be like a clanging cymbal and he won't appreciate it, or she won't appreciate it at all. An individual said, it's almost a definition of a gentleman to say that he is one who never inflicts pain. Isn't that nice? Because he possesses a keen understanding of human nature, he knows when to speak, when to be silent, when to drop in for a visit, when to go home. He doesn't wear out his welcome. He doesn't use humor as a tool to hurt others. As the old expression says, he wears well. Admittedly, though I think you would agree with me, maybe you're thinking, well, courtesy doesn't seem as noble as courage or as important as integrity. But when you think about courtesy for just a few moments, when you analyze it, courtesy is impossible without a host of other factors or virtues. For example, patience, forgiveness, self-control, even humility. So if a gregarious neighbor, a sociable neighbor, knocks at your door at 6:15 in the morning or 5:15 in the morning, whenever you get up in the morning early enough to bother you, will you be gracious enough? Will you be courteous to him? You know, in a very real sense, the test of courtesy is the bad manners of others. The test of courtesy is the bad manners of others. Anyone can be courteous to nice people and those who are being courteous back to you. It's how you respond to the cads and the louts of the world that make all the difference. Isn't that right? So the test of courtesy is the bad manners of others. And courtesy is something that we have to learn. It's something that we're taught. It just doesn't happen overnight per se. We work with our children. It takes some time, even with us adults. Look at Colossians 3. Look at this verse with me, if you'd be so kind. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Notice what it says here. Courtesy is taught, and this passage agrees with that idea. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. We go to verse 14. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So this passage is talking about a new man and what he must do what? He must put on, right? That tells me that the idea to put on, like maybe putting on a pair of pants or a skirt, those types of things initially when we're young, they have to be learned. Our parents taught us those things. I don't remember, but I can put up my pants quite well. So obviously they taught me and I learned. These things must be learned, you see. Putting on these attributes has to be cultivated. And when we invite Jesus into our lives through the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit takes our lives, our hearts, and shapes and molds our characters. And we learn from the Word of God how to live and how to behave. We, by God's grace, practice being courteous in our interaction with others. We're intentional about it. We're considerate of others. But we also must keep the following in mind, as someone wrote, to always be thinking about your manners is not the way to make them good. The very perfection of manners is not to think about yourself. The idea here is to be thinking about the other person. Not necessarily what they think of you, but what you think about them. Have you ever seen the behavior of wolves? You've got always in a wolf pack, you've always got the alpha male, right? You've always got the alpha male. He's the head honcho. All the other dogs, male and female, they have to respect the leader. They have to respect the alpha male. And what do they do? What do they do to show their respect? You probably have seen them. They hang their heads, right, lower than the leader's head as they're coming closer to the leader. Also, they offer these submissive manners, like rolling over, and they expose their soft underbelly, or they even expose their neck to show that they aren't being aggressive. This is a way that they make themselves less in the presence of the alpha. Now, I'm not saying or suggesting that we should do that every time somebody comes to the door, stand lower than they do, roll over, show them your belly, anything like that. Not suggesting that. We're supposed to essentially esteem everybody better and greater than ourselves. The idea of courtesy is very simple. It can be distilled down to something somebody said. He said the general idea of showing respect is by making yourself less. That's it. Someone else described the idea of courtesy as that no one give any kind of preference to himself. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 2 verse 3 put it this way, esteem others better than yourself and look out for his interests before yours. Courtesy, essentially, all comes down to that. I remember Jen and I were visiting friends in just outside of Quebec City in Quebec, Canada. And we were going to be there, stay the night. And we were just smitten by their courtesy and their hospitality. They had a couple of kids. We had our children. And there was no spare room. And we thought, that's fine. We'll just go on the couch or do whatever. We'll just sleep wherever they put us. This couple gave us their own bedroom and their own bed. And so we stayed there, and we stayed in their own bedroom and their own bed. That was not just hospitality. That was genuine courtesy. It was very kind of them. I remember as a teenager going to church, and you know, I had big long hair, had that mullet thing going on, shorter hair up top, longer hair down here. You know, I looked looked like a bit of a ruffian. But the church members, especially the older ones, always treated me with courtesy and with respect. I never forget it. I never forget how they treated me. It was incredible. But you know, there are a couple of different types of courtesies. We've been talking about the genuine kind of courtesy, and we're going to dig just a little bit deeper in this. But there's another kind of courtesy, and it's not genuine. Have you ever watched a British Parliament session in session? Now, I'm from Australia, so we see this all the time in our in the House of Commons and elsewhere. But if you've ever watched the British Parliament, particularly in the House of Commons, you'll probably find it almost hilarious. The Speaker is up there, and as the Speaker is trying to get across a point, there is constant hissing and booing and other forms of distraction and dissension. But through it all, there's this strange kind of hypocritical, worldly courtesy or civility from the one who's speaking. So one member of parliament might be blistering another's ideas up and down, tearing him to the ground, all the while calling him our distinguished colleague from Kent, or the learned gentleman from York, or some other such thing. You know, if you've watched it, it's just a strange mixture, and this is false courtesy. I want to share a couple of statements with you from the pen of inspiration to help us understand this idea just a little bit more. This is from Review and Herald, September 8, 1885. It says, in order to perfect Christian character, the whole man must be molded after the standard of heaven. How much of us? The whole person. Kindness and amiability are essential qualities in the child of God. But notice, she says, but hollow-hearted, hypocritical courtesy, which is so common among worldlings, is not genuine grace of Christian politeness. So what is this hypocritical courtesy she's referring to? This would be that kind of courtesy that a person expresses simply for personal gain, to benefit themselves, you see. Or this type of courtesy that is exhibited so that they might be accepted among a group of people, you see. Doesn't come from the heart. But she goes on to say, courtesy cannot take the place of a holy life. Neither can the life be perfect in the absence, and she calls it courtesy, this fine filling up, which is like the delicate penciling in of a picture. Isn't that beautiful? So the holy life of a Christian is colored in delicately by courtesy. Courtesy in how we treat and deal with others and how we handle ourselves around others, even when no one else is watching, is the coloring in of a life of holiness. Isn't that interesting? Now, this is another quote. This is from Education, page 240. She says, "True courtesy is not learned by the mere practices of rules of etiquette." So when someone who's an elder may come into the room, you know, we were taught when someone comes over to shake your hand or talk to you who's older than you, to stand and look at them in the eye and show them respect. There's some things I want to say about that, but I'm going to move on. Even the please and the thank yous, they're not learned by mere practices of rules of etiquette. Propriety of deportment is at all times to be observed. She's talking about the Christian. Wherever principle is not compromised, consideration of others will lead to compliance with accepted customs. But true courtesy requires no sacrifice of principle to conventionality. It ignores caste. It teaches self-respect. Respect for the dignity of man as man, a regard for every member of the great human brotherhood. Did you see what genuine courtesy is there? It ignores caste, creed. It teaches self-respect, respect for the dignity of man, a regard for every member of the great human brotherhood. This type of courtesy can only come from the heart. Isn't that right? A heart that's been transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. And then notice this. This is from the ninth volume of the Testimonies for the Church, page 189. Do you think courtesy and Christians expressing courtesy in their everyday affairs and life would have an impact upon their ability to evangelize the world? You know, someone said you can't evangelize those you're antagonizing. You know, it's hard to do. Notice this quote, 9T. Ninth volume of the Testimonies, page 189. If we would humble ourselves before God and be kind and courteous and tender-hearted and pitiful, there would be 100 conversions to the truth where now there is only one. That's why I'm taking time to talk about courtesy. Where there is one baptism, where there's one person who gives their life to Jesus Christ, if God's people would be more kind and courteous and tender-hearted, there would be 100. Isn't that powerful? That's incredible. Just this week, I was talking with a gentleman, and I didn't ask him if I could tell the story, but I'm not going to be naming names, but I was talking to a gentleman, and he was sharing with me how a very dear friend had essentially shown interest in this message and in the Adventist church. And in so much that the person wanted to start attending a local Adventist church where she lived. But she had Adventist neighbors, and I know that sounds strange, but she had Adventist neighbors. You know where the story's going. She had Adventist neighbors. The lady was Pentecostal, but she had Adventist neighbors. And the Adventist neighbors, I don't know if they were generally kind or polite or just what, but apparently they said some things about the current church that she was going to, in so much that it was offensive, and she never went to visit the Adventist church, and from what I understand still hasn't to this particular day. These particular individuals lacked courtesy. They didn't understand the sensitivity that comes with friendship, knowing when to say something, knowing when to pull back, trying to find common ground, courtesy. Where there is now one conversion to the truth, there could be 100 if God's people would be kind and courteous and tender-hearted and pitiful. We have to be careful here as well that we don't run visitors off, isn't that right? Yeah. Sometimes folk walk through the door, maybe they have a little one, and the little one's a little unruly, and sometimes we can be a little sharp and a little hard rather than being courteous and being kind, and we can put people off. when we go after how they what they wear and that type of thing, and they're just visiting for the first time, we have to be careful. We have to be courteous. We have to be considerate and kind. Treat others as you would want to be treated. We have to slow down a little bit, think it through, pray it through before we do what comes naturally, which isn't always a good thing. We need to be kind and we need to be courteous. We don't want to run people off because of our lack of courtesy. What do you say? In closing, I want to share with you a couple of biblical examples of courtesy. First of all, the Bible gives us a marked example of true courtesy in the life of Abraham. He was a man of God, of course. He pitched his tent, and when he pitched his tent, he quickly erected his altar for sacrifice, and he invited God to abide with him. Abraham was a courteous man. His life was not marred. His life wasn't marred with any selfishness. Do you remember or do you recall his conduct with his nephew Lot? Though Lot was his nephew and he was a lot younger than Abraham, what did Abraham do? He gave Lot, his young nephew, the first choice of all that good land that belonged to Abraham. Courtesy led Abraham to forgo his own personal right and permit Lot to select for himself that part of the country which Lot himself seemed to him to be the most desirable. Abraham didn't influence his decision. Abraham didn't tip him off or point him in the direction of something that appeared good but really wasn't. It was genuine, heartfelt courtesy. You probably also recall when he invited those three weary travelers in the heat of the day to come and eat something with him. And as soon as they came over, he quickly went off and prepared something for them. Courtesy. Do you recall when he was engaged in a business transaction with the sons of Heth? He was trying to buy a burying place for his wife, Sarah. In his grief, Abraham didn't forget to be courteous. The Bible says he bowed before them, although he was God's nobleman. Abraham knew what genuine politeness was and what was due from himself to his fellow man. Another man in the scriptures whom we sometimes don't consider to be courteous, but he really was, is the Apostle Paul. He was a great apostle. He was firm. He was firm to duty and principle when they were at stake. He preached Christ with boldness, but Paul was never harsh and Paul was never impolite. He had a tender heart and he was ever kind and thoughtful to others. Courtesy was a marked trait of his character, and this gave him favor with the upper classes of society. And when he was before kings, and when he was before dignitaries of the earth who held his life in their hands, Paul didn't fear because he'd given his life into God's hands. But by courtesy, he softened the hearts of these men in power, these men who had quick tempers, they were evil and they were corrupt, and he found a way to their hearts. He didn't forget his position or the importance of the occasion. He was zealous for truth, bold in advancing Christ, but his propriety of deportment, the grace of true politeness, marked everything that he did. So you can be bold for Jesus, but you don't have to be rude about it, right? You can be courteous and you can be polite and you can be kind. But the greatest example has been given us, not in patriarch and not in apostle, but we find our greatest example of true courtesy in Jesus Christ. In Jesus. The virtue, Ellen White says, ran parallel with his life, clothing it with a softened and a refined beauty. Jesus, we know, he invited the weary, he invited the oppressed to come to him. And what did he say? Come to me, rest, find rest for your souls. And he said, learn of me, who is meek and lowly of heart. Jesus longed to bring quiet rest to the oppressed and to the suffering, because who wants to live like that? And Jesus didn't want them to live like that either. Their fluctuating, changing, depressing experience offered anything but rest to them. It was labor, it was pain, it was sorrow for them. Jesus wanted to teach these individuals, he wants to teach us how to bear insult, how to bear reproach, and how to bear abuse without retaliating. He wanted them to lay off the yoke of pride, to take his yoke, which is easy, because his meekness and his gentleness were great. See, genuine courtesy is more than just something we do on the outside. It's got to come from the heart, and a changed heart. Jesus was even courteous to his persecutors, to the spies that haunted him, hunted him down and followed him day after day. And when they drove those nails through his hands, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Genuine courtesy coming about from genuine love for mankind. And no matter how terrible the situation, no matter how wretched the person who came to Jesus, Jesus always accepted them. Jesus didn't utter any word of reproach or censure, even though he was constantly besieged, hours unbroken, couldn't find retirement at times. He didn't get irritable, didn't get frustrated. He just ministered with grace, with politeness, with courtesy, with love. We're even told that publicans and sinners, we know, they thronged about the Savior. Why? Because from Jesus they would hear a word of hope. They would receive a touch from his hand, perhaps, whatever it was. They just came to him looking for a kind word, even, from the one who would offer it for them. And so today, would you pray with me and ask Jesus, who is the epitome of courtesy to foe and friend alike, for grace to treat others as I would like them to treat me? Would you do that? Amen. Together. Oh Lord Jesus, the one who is the epitome of courtesy to friend and to foe alike, Lord, grant us your grace that we might treat others as you treat us and as you treat them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.